I'm Sonia Morton Firth, and you're tuned in to the Sonia Morton Firth Show. Today, my guest is Doug Gordon, award-winning author, coach, speaker, and healer. In this episode, we discuss spirituality and business, taking the steps to self-awareness, what success is. Doug, hello and welcome to my show. It's fantastic to see you again, should I say, for my audience. We know I've known Doug for a number of years now, and I'm truly honored that you're here today. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm great, Sonia. It's so lovely to meet you here in this kind of medium, considering we both used to work in the financial services industry.
We have actually quite a few things in common, Doug, and I'm sure we'll get into a few of those things. But before we start, for my audience and people listening, why should they stick around to listen to this conversation? What are they going to take away from it?
Well, the number one reason, obviously, Sonia, is you. But if you're talking about myself and what I've done, so I was in the investment world for 21 years, working my way up from customer services to C-level exec. And I worked for some amazing companies like Fidelity, Lazard, Columbia Threadneedle, many others who run billions. And I, during that time period, I was in the newspapers, the Times, the Independent, for growing Columbia Threadneedle's business in the UK from 50 million per annum sales to 1.75 billion. But during that time period, I had a near-death experience where I actually died and came back, thankfully. Otherwise, I wouldn't be speaking to you today. And then I completely changed my life. So I got into healing initially to heal myself. Then I got into life coaching. Then I was asked on stage and got a radio show for 5 years, interviewed some amazing people like yourself, and now help people in terms of either business side. You might find me working with people like the C-level CIO of Dell one day, Stuart Lancaster, the old Leinster and England coach, rugby coach. And then another day you might find me helping people who are struggling with suicide or depression or something like that as well. So I have a diverse range of skill sets that might interest a few people during the show.
Wow, Doug, that was quite an introduction. So I'll scrap my next question, which was, tell me a little bit about yourself and what got you to this point today. Doug, that's amazing. Let me delve just a little bit deeper. You said you nearly died. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that changed you to the person who you are sitting here today?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2008, anybody who's in the stock market world or anyone who had their eyes open will remember the stock market falling through the floor. And during that time period, I was working with a very good company, Columbia Threadneedle. At the time, we had a lot of money under management in hedge funds, and it all went out the door virtually. And at that point, we had to lay off quite a lot of people. I didn't realize how empathetic towards other people's energies I was at the time. And I got really stressed. And that stress led to ailment after ailment, doctor after doctor, specialist after specialist, 2 operations that went wrong, 4 years of chronic pain, like I was being punched in the stomach, waking up sometimes 10 times in the night. And then in 2013, I ended up having a near-death experience where basically I got the norovirus, which is like a stomach bomb. And for 10 days, I had serious dehydration and my electrolytes were down to virtually zero. I was having chest pain, the ambulance was rung, ECG in the ambulance was a heart issue, blood pressure had more than doubled, arrived into A&E, rushed down to x-ray, and on the way down to x-ray, suddenly I was encapsulated in this amazing feeling of love, energy, and connection, nothing like I'd ever felt before. Wow. If you take your best orgasm and times it by 100, you might just about feel it there. And there's no man with a beard, but there was this living conscious energy that was connecting me, binding me, and making me just feel this pure love. And there was no voice, but there was a knowing that said to me, I needed to change my life in some way or form. And at that point, I came back, obviously, because I wouldn't be here otherwise. And at that point, then I decided I needed to do something spiritual. So Bear Grylls had done something called the Alpha Course, which is a Christian course. So I thought it was good enough for Bear Grylls, pretty good enough for me. So I went down and did that. And the first day I came out, I still wasn't sure, because when I was in that energy of what you might call God or universal energy, I felt that energy would never discriminate against anybody in this world. And I feel like religions are like rivers to the sea. They're all beautiful in their own right. They're just different paths to the same thing. So I felt maybe We shouldn't just base it on one. We should try and understand lots of different paths and opinions in life. So I came out and I said to the universe, whatever you believe, I said, give me a sign because I don't know what to do. And literally 2 days later, I fell over my dog having, I was helping a friend of mine actually in our industry, in the old asset management industry, who had cancer. Later on, fell over my dog running, cut my hand and my knees to shreds, and I had in cuts, and I still have the photos, and it's in my book as well, and I talk about it. I had two infinity signs, as in like two eights on my hand.
Right. Yes.
And then across my palm, my hand, I had the letters of the cross, I-N-R-I, and it was big I, big N, small r, small I. So it was like as if saying, Jesus of Nazareth, but not really King of the Jews, go back and do that course. So I did, that got me into the Christian side first, but I still felt that it would be naive myself just to think of one perspective. So I wanted to get different perspectives of the same thing. So that's why I started learning about Judaism, Jainism, Buddhism, Islam, everything, to understand the entirety of everybody's perspective of this thing that we call God, Allah, Buddha, whatever it is, or universal energy. And it gave me a greater perspective on life and different cultures and ways of seeing things. Because let's face it, you know, there's so many different perspectives in this world, and that's what makes this world such a beautiful place. And diversity inclusion is one of the most important things in the world, because it means we get different perspectives on the same thing to get better solutions for the problems that we might have. So this helped me grow, I think, a lot in terms of my own self, professional development and personal development as well.
Wow, that is quite something. I resonate on a lot of things that you say there, the love, the connection, the light, having explored my own spirituality, particularly over the past sort of couple of years, definitely. And when you find that, I think it's amazing, but not everybody finds it, I guess. And sort of going back to that corporate world and that corporate environment, certainly at the time when I look back, I didn't feel any sort of spirituality. Do you think that, having reflected on what you now know today, and your former life, do you see there's a way that we can integrate some of that spirituality into corporations, into businesses?
Yeah, so certainly that's what I do now a lot. What I do is I help businesses in order to see a why, a mission, or a purpose in what they do. So when I was working in the investment world, I did very well, obviously, as I was mentioning earlier on. But at the time, I thought it was transactional, basically just moving money from one institution to another, promising that we'd outperform their former investment manager, or just trying to bring as much money as possible. But now, if I reframe it in my mind, what we're actually doing is helping potentially that granny or grandpa, mother or father, brother or sister, retire younger, give more to their children, buy a better retirement home, give more to their charity, and basically give them a better life. So when in any job that you look at the energetics of what you do and how it interlinks to the end customer and how it betters their life, that'll give you a sense of purpose and meaning and give you a bit of extra energy to spring out of bed every single day. So if we can create that sense of meaning in what we do, regardless what it is, like even a cleaner, cleaning the floor in an office is going to make it more hygienic for people to come in so that they have better energy, so they can survive longer in what they're doing and everything like that. And it's actually creating meaning in what you do in your job. And I think if we can think about that and think about that, we can bring about that, as one of our great friends, John DeMartini, always says.
So you're essentially reframing, I guess, what it is you're doing, or reframing it to position it to look at sort of the benefits to other people, not just, as you say, making money for yourself.
Yeah, and reframing in life is so important, because if you reframe as well, that when you go into any business transaction, or like when I met you for the first time, obviously, you know, I think there's a business reason, and then there's a spiritual reason, because I think that everybody comes into your life for a reason, and you can learn, and there's a mirror effect in everybody that you see. Because sometimes we go, oh, my boss is a right so-and-so, or my ex is a right so-and-so. And I often get this because I do relationship coaching, both in business and in life as well. And quite often people say to me, oh, my ex was a right narcissist, or my boss was a right narcissist. And I actually believe, I channeled this acronym for narcissist, which is neglected awareness, reflecting conditions in suppressed self, instigating soul transition. And what I mean by that is the hardest people that come into our lives are the ones who actually generally reflect back those suppressed emotions within that we don't look at it. And if we actually own our flaws instead of pointing the finger, when you point the finger, there's three pointing back at you, the only person you can change in life is yourself. So when you change you, when your vibe changes, you'll attract a different type of vibe, or people will perceive you in a different way and treat you in a different way. So that's why if we work on ourselves, then it tends to work on all the people around us as well.
I absolutely love that. I hear the word narcissist overplayed, I think, these days. And friends, whether it's friends or just all around you, you hear people say on social media, this guy's a narcissist, this person's a narcissist. I'm like, well, we can't just have all these narcissists out there. Have you looked at maybe yourself? Are you attracting in maybe something that you need to work on? So that is actually really, really interesting. Doug, in terms of how you see yourself today, what is your mission?
My mission is to try and connect as many people possible to their heart self rather than their head self, so that they can connect to whatever truly lights them up in life, so they can follow their true mission in life. And that way they'll be happier, healthier, and probably wealthier as well.
And I guess, how do you do that?
Well, so it depends on exactly, everything I do, I incorporate energy into. So I always say, you know, thoughts are energy, speech is energy, thoughts lead to speech leads to actions, actions leads to habits, and habits leads to destiny. So start with a positive thought and end with a positive destiny. And if you think that everything in life is energy, whether we're talking now in terms of the communication that we have, there's an energy wave coming out of my mouth, into the computer, up to the satellite and down into your ears. So everything I do is energy. So I teach people in terms of leadership skills, and that's about bringing the entities of energy of the different people within an organization to bind that energy together towards collective goals by good conscious communication. Or if I'm doing my energy healing, obviously that's pretty obvious in terms of, let's face it, you know, your body's made up of cells, those cells vibrate. If someone gets a knock or a whack or a bang or something like that, that means that the energy in that area is out of sync, and it sends a signal up to your brain saying there's pain. So I hone into the energy, bring it through a state of intention and love, and bring that back in and resync the area back into the sync as well. So everything I do is about energy. And I think we all need to remember that we need to be very conscious about the way we think, about the way we speak, and the way we act to create what we want in life rather than what we don't want. So I help people in terms of conscious communication, conscious leadership, conscious relationships, and also consciously looking after yourself. Because let's face it, the relationship that we have with ourselves is the most important one.
Let's get back to conscious leadership, because I've heard this expression quite a lot. What does that actually mean, conscious leadership?
Well, so you can see behind me, obviously, I've got the Leadership and Life Mastery Summit, which I'm the CEO of. And, but if you think about leadership, right, there's a ship in it, as you can see in terms of the word. And that means that you need to put yourself and your team, yourself and your clients, yourself and your suppliers on board the ship of what you're trying to achieve. So you need to lead them there. And that comes down to, again, the relationships that you develop with them. And the word relationship can be also broken down into the word relay in terms of conscious communication and active listening to understand the different perspectives. Because let's face it, when I get up on stage and speak in front of 500 people, there's going to be 499 different perspectives in what I'm saying there. So you need to make sure that that the next part of the relationship is the shuns. And they are, you know, intentions, expectations, motivations. But what happens is that most people make assumptions. And instead of making assumptions where you assume, which means you make an ass out of you and me in terms of breaking down that word, you need to make questions. And when you question people and ask them their understanding, their perspective, their way of seeing things, then you can learn and grow. And that's why as a leader, you need to create incredible relationships with yourself, with the people that you're working with, and with your clients, obviously, as well. And leading them in the right direction in terms of that ship, as the ship goes port to port, and whatever your mission statement is, your purpose is, your meaning is of what you're trying to do within the organization. So leadership in terms of conscious communication is all about conscious communication. And that's about going back to emotional intelligence. The most successful leaders are the most emotionally intelligent, which means they're aware. And that's self-awareness, but it's also situational awareness, team awareness, remembering that there's different people in the team, divisional awareness, remembering that the operations department are going to have a different agenda to the finance department, different agenda to the sales department. And to have the awareness of that and understanding of that so you can bring people together in a collaborative, bound organization rather than silos. And then also it's about empathy, compassion, conscious communication, creating a sense of inspiration. And all of those interlink in terms of emotional intelligence to the end result of creating win-win within what you do.
Is there any practical tips that you could sort of talk about around, I guess, becoming more self-aware? Because like you said a number of times, self-awareness, I guess, is really the key. Becoming self-awareness of your actions and things that you do. Is there a sort of an exercise or practical tips that somebody can do to become more self-aware?
Yeah, this is in my TED talk, so I'll run through it. So basically, the first thing is we all have, you know, we're a product of our parents, preachers, teachers, and past relationships and experiences. So we all have certain traits that don't serve us, certain sabotages, should we say. And we all know there was, you know, it can be simple things like a man maybe not actively listening enough to his girlfriend or partner. Any men listening, I always say, when your girlfriend or your partner walks through the door and she starts venting, ask her, honey, is this one of those times that you want me to give solutions or you want me to just listen? And I guarantee it's just listen. But most men try and give solutions all the time, which is a mistake. So have a look at the traits that you know that don't serve you and write them down in a state of self-awareness. But then also pick five people in your life and include a mum or a dad and write down all the traits that you see in them as well. Because generally, as I said, people mirror back areas that you need to self-improve on yourself. So of those five people, then see if there's any similarity even between one trait, between two of them, and then own that as well and put it on the master list. And then finally, something I learned in Kabbalah actually is to phone a friend. And phone the friend up and say, look, I'm doing this self-aware thing. I'm also doing an ego thing. I want you to tell me all the things that you don't like about me. Or I need to self-improve on, and I'll write them down and I'll thank you and I won't retort and, you know, you'll be helping me. And I did this with my dad, actually, and my dad told me to bring the biggest pad I could possibly find. But it was a very good thing. And now some of the stuff is obviously going to mirror back to him, but it was a really good exercise to have your self-aware views, your mirrored views, and a phone a friend view. So you get an overall effect. And once you have that, find a coach like yourself or myself or a friend, and sit down with them and voice them out loud. I think it's very important to voice out loud, because by voicing out loud, you're making yourself aware, your subconscious aware, and you're being held accountable by someone. So you've got awareness, you've got acceptance, and you've got accountability. And once you've done that, you said it passionately, hand on heart, and all that kind of stuff. So you might say something like, at times I don't actively listen enough. At times I'm fearful. At times I don't feel worthy of love. At times I leave my underpants on the floor too much, whatever it might be. And then once you've done that, then rip the piece of paper up and burn it, blow it up in the bin or whatever. I had one guy in Dallas, I was doing this. He had a barbecue already because he knew what the exercise was going to be, and he threw it on the barbecue in front of me and all that kind of stuff. So whatever you need to do, see the energy dissipating and then rewrite the list in I am positive opposite. So I am always listening with love. I am understanding the other person's perspective, whatever it might be, all of those down. And then say those affirmations out loud, preferably in front of someone, but if not, in front of the mirror, your hand in your heart, with passion, every day for a minimum of 30 days, preferably 60 days, in order to implement neuroplasticity within the brain and change the way you think, speak, and act. Now, once you've done that, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to change. What you have to have is the awareness at the end of each day, just for 5 minutes, write down in each interaction that you might have had, including with your own self, what were the thoughts that I was having there? What were the behaviors that I was putting in place there? And what were the emotions that I felt there? And have a self-reflection at the end of the day and decide what worked and what didn't work in terms of where you want to change so that you think better, speak better, and act better.
Wow, I love that. That is definitely a very good exercise to do. I love the burning of it, having the acceptance and accountability and actually writing everything down is that really helps sort of get things stuck in and doing the affirmations afterwards. That's lovely, Doug. Doug, let's talk a little bit about success and of your book, Charge Yourself Up for Success. But what does success actually mean?
Well, so success is completely different for everybody, and it's all down to your own perspective. Let's face it, most of us tend to follow what our fathers and mothers were doing or where they might push us towards. And then suddenly you have a midlife crisis and realize you're doing the wrong job. or you have a near-death experience like myself. So I think what we really need to do is to have a look, and success is finding your true passion, purpose, and meaning in life and following it to a way that you're really enjoying it. But also I think success in life is just enjoying life and being grateful, because I truly believe that we're spiritual beings having a physical existence. And I believe that the five senses that we have in life are the greatest gifts that we have in life. So being able to see the sun, the sea, the stars, the sky is a gift, and we should be grateful for it, because there are people who can't see. To be able to hear the whistle of the wind or a river flowing by or someone telling you that they love you is a gift, because some people can't even hear. Even tasting chocolate and wine, because let's face it, after COVID, there's some people who can't taste anymore. So if we can be grateful for the smallest things in life, then we can really enjoy life with a sense of gratitude. And when you have gratitude for even the smallest things in life, that's going to bring a sense of what I might call success in life. But if you're talking about following that purpose, which I do still believe that we do have some reason for being here, and it could be just to learn, to grow, to evolve, to become a better version of yourself. But if you want to follow that mission, find what it is. Write down, what are you gifted at doing? What are you good at doing? You know, what do you love doing? And what can you add value to people in some way or form? And find all the matches and see if you can follow that route. Or you and I speak on stage, Sonia. So, you know, if we were to give somebody a stage in front of 10,000 people, beam it out to 8 billion people, and you're 90 years of age, what would you talk about? What would you be most inspired to, you know, leave that legacy for? And then when you know what that is, reverse engineer yourself back to where you are today and ask yourself, who do I need to work with? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do to be able to be worthy enough to stand on that stage, make that speech, and leave that legacy? And that's a good path to follow then. And then you'll be living a life of success.
And what have people listening, because we talk about purpose these days, and as you mentioned, some of it is, it's definitely, sometimes people just don't know what their purpose is. I mean, do you believe everyone actually has a purpose?
Yeah, look, even if, obviously I mentioned, write down what you're good at doing, what you enjoy doing, and what you're, you know, add value, or as I said, the energetics of what you do, how it adds value to people, changes lives. Or the other one, which I say to people, they go, oh, I don't know if I'm good at anything, or I don't want to stand on the stage. Well, I said, have a look at what's happened to you in terms of the crap in your life. You know, for example, I went through divorce. I had the near-death experience. I had two operations that went wrong. I had lots of different things in terms of relationships. So you can have a look at those and turn your messes into messages to give meaning to help other people in some way or form. And that way, then you can have a look at synchronicity of the things that are happening in your life and consciously be aware of them and take them as learnings rather than lessons and utilize them to maybe higher consciousness and help people around the world. Because let's face it, the greatest gift we can give to ourselves is giving to others, because it actually gives us the greatest sense of contentment when you help other people. So if you can help as many people as possible in the world, you don't have to have any gifts. You can just do that, and you can go out there and really make a life full of love, happiness, and joy.
Which sounds absolutely amazing. But what happens if somebody is listening and go, well, that's all very well, Doug, but that doesn't pay the bills, or how do I make money from that?
Yeah, well, look, there is obviously, you know, everybody has to make some money to be able to live and everything like that. But what I mean by that is, even if there's somebody out there who is struggling to pay the bills, it doesn't mean that when they walk down the street, they can't help an old lady across the road or pick up some rubbish or pet a dog or give someone they love a hug. We can all do little things. It's the little incremental things that make the big difference. You know, people think that in terms of becoming this super duper entrepreneur, it's all about, you know, doing these grandiose type things. Actually, no, it's the consistency of the small little things that build up to that success. And it's doing those with discipline and consistency. Most of the CEOs that I work with and C-level guys, they're like, oh, I want to turn this business around from 35 million a year, I want to make 100 million a year and all this kind of stuff. And I analyze what they're doing. And sometimes it's just the little things that change, just those small little habits that can end up on a consistent basis making a massive difference to the overall thing. So think of the smaller things rather than the grandiose things. In terms of making money, look, as I said, yeah, if you can find something that you love doing, great, go and do it. And it is about basically when you're looking to make money, is to have confidence and self-love in your own self, so that whatever you do, you put full-heartedness into it. Also, you do need to work blooming hard. When I was doing this Leadership and Life Mastery Summit, In the last 2 or 3 weeks, I was up till 3 a.m. every night and getting up at 8 a.m. in the morning. And I was working, you know, really hard. So you do need to put effort in. And let's face it, money is a return on investment of the energy that you put in or the experience and knowledge that you have. So that's very important to remember that money is just an exchange for the energy that you put in. So the more energy you put in, and that can include learning a particular skill or knowledge, the more money you can receive. But you do need to then communicate and market yourself, because you can have the best book in the world, which I think I do. But to be able to get that out there in terms of, you know, being able to communicate that, it's not just going to happen by itself, unless you're very lucky and Oprah picks up the book and decides then she wants to, you know, market this out for you. You do have to communicate. You do have to work at it. And when you're prepared to put the work in, the rewards will come out as well.
Let's just take a little a detour here. What happens if you have people that are living in a state of stress? We talked about the corporate world before. It was a very stressful environment. Or maybe people that just are not in that right state of mind or place to be able to put into a place all these actions to discover their purpose and then go on and lead fulfilling lives. How do we tackle that sort of first step of getting out of that stressful state?
Well, the first thing is to be aware of it and to accept it in terms of admit it. Once you have the awareness and acceptance, then you can change, because without the awareness, you can't change. Without the acceptance that it's actually in you, you can't change. And then once you have that, then you can start to change. So obviously through knowledge or working with a coach or learning, then you can actually change. So you think about what you need to do. You need to get your energy up to a higher level. So that's all about the mental, physical, emotional and spiritual sides of you. So what can you do? I always say to people, well, the first thing, the easiest thing to do is to get up and move, get your energy going within your body, do some exercise, get out there for a run, walk, go in nature, do some meditation as well. Meditation, they all think meditation is just about doing sitting there and going, but it's not really. Meditation is about relaxing in the breath, quieting your mind and getting into a state of connection. It's almost like plugging your phone in every day. You can plug into universal consciousness or even just to your own heart self and your beats of your heart in order to calm yourself down, connect with yourself and let go of any of those energies. The other thing to do is to be, in terms of stress, two people can look at the same thing, the same situation in completely different ways. It's so to have a look at the situation and get yourself out of the emotion and the commotion and put yourself on the 10th floor and have a look back down and ask yourself, you know, what am I learning here? Yeah, can I utilize anything in this situation to grow here? And can I turn this into a gamified fashion rather than getting wrapped up? Can you look at life as almost like a PlayStation game? I actually had the near-death experience, right? And I believe that being spiritual beings having a physical existence, why would we just come down as you or I, Sonia? Why would you not come down as the king, the queen, the prince, the pauper, the invalid, the impium, to experience life in different ways and different angles, to understand the perspectives of all this entirety of this beautiful thing that we call life? So based on that, if you are having a hard time, maybe take that perspective and pat yourself on the back, because maybe you played this game of life so often that you're testing yourself to the ultimate to see if you can get through all this crap and come out the other side still as the best version of you. So if you are listening to this,
I really love that.
Yeah, and I've said this to a girl who was going to take her life recently. I said, look, I think you're an angel. I think you're an angel because I think you're having such a hard life. Because why would an angel make it easy for themselves? Why would they not test themselves to the highest level of that PlayStation game and then see if they can still do it? And she actually did say to me, well, if there's reincarnation, surely if I took my life, I could just come back again. And I say, well, actually, I believe you chose this life. I believe you chose these challenges. I believe you chose the people in your life. So if you take that away from your higher self, your soul self, it's going to be like Groundhog Day. I guarantee, in my viewpoint, that I think you'll come back. And I think you'll have to do it all over again. So why not get out of the way this time? So that's one perspective that seems to help a few people in terms of the kind of stuff I do and also what I feel about life. And again, this is my opinion. We all have our own opinions, obviously.
Wow. Yes, that is quite a different way of looking at things. But actually, I love that because we are all different. We all have our unique gifts. And if we can understand those and sort of, like you say, look at it from a completely different perspective, then I think it gives all of our lives a huge, tremendous amount of value. And like you say, which I love, is we're all here having a human experience as spiritual beings. Yes, amazing, amazing. If you could, knowing everything that you know now, Doug, and you could go back and give young Doug a little piece of advice, what advice would you give him?
Well, I was speaking to my 18-year-old self. See, it's a difficult one because I truly believe that everything happens to you, happens for you. So by taking the experiences away from the young Doug, I might not be where I am today. So that would be one perspective. But if I was going to say anything to the young Doug, I think I'd tell him to drink less. Because I remember when I was in university, I drank like a fish. And that was half the reason why I had some stomach issues and everything like that, because in later life, it didn't work so well. So that would be one. But also, I would tell him, I think the most important thing I would say to him is that separateness brings togetherness. And what I mean by that is that I'm a really loving, caring person. And I know you are as well, Sonia. And I know a lot of you out there listening are as well. But what often happens is if we take two people, they're in a love relationship. One person really cares about the other person. And sometimes one person might come home from work and want to vent or whatever and say things. And because you care so much, you get wrapped up in the other person's energy. And that wrapped up in that other person's energy basically means the person who comes home is like this, you know, kind of thing. Then you get wrapped up because you love them so much in their energy. And then you're like that. So you can't really help them because then you get wrapped up in the emotion commotion as well. And you're not thinking from a place of holding space. So if you can keep your energy separate in a state of love, so when the other person is throwing their toys out of the pram, you can hold space for them in a place of love. So when they come back into balance, then that separateness can bring back togetherness. But I think the biggest mistake that I've made in my life is getting too caring and getting too wrapped up in other people's energies when I should have just stayed there, holding space, holding love, and waiting for them to come back into their, you know, state of balance rather than trying to fix them. Don't try and fix people. Hold space for people and guide people. And you might find your relationships improve massively.
Wow. What's the biggest piece of advice that you could give anybody that's listening to this?
Is to look at everything in life and everybody and every situation in life from that top-down view. And just understand, instead of, say if you got someone who's being angry or, you know, aggressive or whatever in your life, in terms of someone you meet randomly on the street, someone who's being, ask yourself, instead of getting wrapped up in the emotion and commotion, ask yourself, okay, what have I done in the last week that maybe has put my vibe to attract this type of tribe? Have I been rude to somebody? Have I been slightly arrogant to somebody? Have I done something slightly selfish in some way or form? And that way, always, and I said this earlier on, is never point the finger because there's three always pointed back at you. So always take responsibility for your change. And also remember, tying into that, in terms of getting yourself in the best positive state, is that we have this gremlin on one side and this angel on the other side. And it's up to you which you listen to. So why not plant as many flowers into your head rather than weeds into your head in terms of positive affirmations every single day?
I love that. And Doug, you brought out the book last year. What does the future hold for you? Where do you see yourself in the next sort of 2 to 5 years time?
Yeah, so I'm writing another book, but Charge Yourself Up for Success has been a great book. I mean, I've got some great testimonies, people, you know, like John DeMartini and Lisa Nichols from The Secret Film, Stephen Covey from Franklin Covey, one of the biggest coaching agencies in the world, Eamon Quinn, who's at Dragon's Den over here in Ireland, and a Star Wars Emmy Award winning actress. And they've all read the book, they love the book, and the book's been selling really well. I love just getting on stage and touching people's hearts. So my aim really is to get on as many stages as possible and touch as many hearts in whatever form. And this is why I set up the Leadership and Life Mastery Summit. And we did our first major one this year. We had some great speakers there with 8 different speakers, a magician, a singer, and all that kind of stuff. And it was a great start in terms of, you know, getting people there. We're going to grow this. And the idea is to bring business and life mastery to people. So it's all about basically talking about, yeah, we talk about business. We talk about how to run a business, grow a business, manage a business. But we also talk about the life stuff, the holistic stuff, how to be happier, how to be healthier in life, and how to be more successful in life, not just in money. And then that way, is the idea of that is try and bring that to as many people around the world as possible and grow that as well. So my aim is just to try and touch as many hearts as possible, change as many lives as possible in whatever medium that is. I mean, as I said earlier on, you might catch me one day working with the C-level at Dell or, you know, at Salesforce or something like that. And the next day you might see me working with people who are suffering from depression or something like that as well. So it's to try and help and change people's lives.
Well, hopefully we'll see you in London on stage very soon with Life Mastery. That would be amazing. And finally, Doug, where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so I'm on DougDGordon.com. So that's Doug, D-O-U-G-D, and then Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N.com. But also the Leadership and Life Mastery Summit, as you can just see above me there, .com as well. And I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all of those. So please reach out, contact me, be delighted to speak to you. And if I can help you in any way or form, get on your mission, get on your goal, and live a life of purpose, it would be an absolute pleasure.
Oh, Doug, that was fantastic. Have you got any last words for our audience? Anything that I haven't mentioned or that we should know?
Well, okay, so what you go through in life, you grow through to glow through. So gleam your inner light. And the gleam, my gleam acronym is gratitude, in terms of being grateful for all you have, but also giving to others in terms of the greatest gift that you can have, learning and letting go, focus on the fabulous future, not the problems of the past. E is emotional intelligence, which we talked about earlier on, and energy. And A is authenticity, be yourself. It's the best version you've got. And finally, M is meaning, that sense of purpose. Find what you love doing, find the people that you love working with and the clients that you love serving, and then you have lots of vibrant energy.
Doug, what a perfect note to end. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Thanks, Sonia.